Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Newtown Theatre. Please welcome a man who's made the second most controversial shaving decision of his life. It's Richard Herring. Oh yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Welcome, welcome to... what's it called today? Richard Herring's Lots of Sexy Toms podcast. We've got two... That's not slang for prostitutes. That is... We have two people called Tom on the show. At last, two, I think, heterosexual male. Maybe not. I mean, actually, Tuck, probably not. Not sure about Rosenthal. You can't do it. You just can't do it anymore. Can't get just two white men anymore. Wouldn't be allowed. Due to a little correctness gone mad. There are none. Oh, just won the award. But I was talking to Magnum PI today and Joseph Stalin, and they call it Rahelastapas. So I don't know what's going to... I've got a moustache, people at home, today. I wasn't going to shave all Edinburgh, and I had quite a big beard, and just that little soul patch bit under there was starting to annoy me. So I shaved it off and I thought, oh, that was quite easy to shave off. I've just got a wet shaver, I don't have any clippers. So I had a crack at doing the rest of the beard, and it was only when I sort of got about a third of the way through I realised it was pretty much impossible because it's too long. You know, won't know this, ladies, but the razor gets clogged up, you have to kind of try and clean it with your finger. So I managed to just get all of the facial chin hair off after about half an hour, and then I thought, I can't face doing the moustache as well. And I thought, but at least there'll be something to talk about at the start of the show, because nothing's happened to me. Also, my wife hates me having any kind of stubble. She likes to kiss my soft, beautiful face with no stubble at all. So it's annoyed. She's annoyed when I'm not shaved. And I think, essentially, I'm 100% certain she's going to leave me for a woman at some point. That is basically it. But as long as there's an interim period where I'm allowed to watch, that's fine. I'm happy to make that... I don't even want to join in. I just want to have a look, see what they're up to. And that's fine with me. But I went down with the moustache, and she said, "You're not going on like that." She was so, honestly, so angry. I have this moustache. And it doesn't look good. If there are any casting agents in the audience today, then perverted postman That's all I can do. So I have been going around. I went to the Monsky Mouse Disco again today. It's for kids, really, but, you know, I like it. I took my children, and I've been dancing, but I met lots of comedians and I had to go, look, I'm sorry, it's not for real. It's just a joke. So, good. We're going to crack pretty much straight on, I think. I've written PR. Oh, yeah, I did loads of PR for the tour yesterday. The great thing about doing Edinburgh this year is I've not paid for any PR. I've not had any posters, really, or any adverts anywhere. And it's meant that I haven't had to do any stupid radio interviews and newspaper interviews that are a waste of time. But yesterday I went out to do some for the tour, and they were all for places that the tour isn't going. Local radio shows. I did one for Jersey. I mean, that's literally... If you fancy flying over from the Channel Islands to see me in Glasgow, yeah, feel free. Feel free. So I got a little taste of what it could have been, but God, they're idiots. Hello, any local journalists, radio journalists. Anyway, my first guest today is probably best known for playing security at Skip in Drifters. That is... character didn't have a name, but he was standing by a skip. It's Tom Tuck, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tom Tuck. Thomas Tuck. Tom. No, welcome. Come and sit down. This is the microphone. It's very simple. You need to... That's okay. Make yourself at home.
Thank you.
That's okay. Good. Tell me what you remember about playing security. Drifters was a great show. I've watched all of those.
I've only watched the bit I was
Have
in.
You? Yeah, it's a very good show.
No.
I can't remember you in it, Tom.
I was doing a lot of acting.
Were you? Okay.
There was probably like an inch or two of acting on my face, okay. So you didn't recognise me.
I didn't recognise, that's how good you are.
Yeah.
What did the role involve being security at Skip?
Finding some women in a skip.
Okay, yeah, I seem to remember that bit actually now.
With a torch.
Yeah, and saying, get out of this. Oh, that's good, but I wish the people at home could have seen it. It was like I could see the torch, I could see yeah. your slight confusion about what was going on.
There's three of them in there.
Three women. Imagine if you'd had a perverted moustache as you did. That would have changed.
Yeah, I had a beard.
A full beard. But the beard's fine. It's the moustaches. I was discussing with other Tom backstage, the worst choice is the beard and no moustache, isn't it? If I'd shaved off the moustache and then said, oh, I can't be able to shave off the beard, that would have been a weird look.
The worst I've ever seen is a man who lives in Edinburgh. I used to work at Real Foods in Toll Cross.
Yes.
And a man had a snood. And was completely shaven above the snood.
Right.
I once just saw it creeping out. He had a full neck of hair.
Right.
That is the worst.
I guess that is just the neck. Just the neck. Okay, that's good to know. So you've been doing loads of shows. You're a kind of person who comes up and does a lot of various shows when you come to the Fringe.
Yes.
You've been doing a show where you've been doing Macbeth in an hour?
Yes, I played Lady Scottish Play, thank you.
And you had a different director?
Different live director every day, because famously, an hour's not long enough for Macbeth.
No.
So we had to have someone to just choose which bits we were going to do, and it was only two of us. And famously, the first scene is three witches.
That's true.
So, you know, some compromises were made. So it was Sir Timothy Fitzhyam.
Yes.
Has he been on the holiday?
He has not yet been on. Ooh. He's a very interesting man, isn't
yes.
he?
Yes, he's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he came up with the idea, and I'm the only person ridiculous enough to say yes.
Okay.
To Tim Fitzhyam, yes. Asking you to do a Shakespeare in an hour. But we had 11 days.
Yeah. Will it be back, or is it?
I think so.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Okay. Do you want to direct one?
Yes, I would. He did ask me to direct one before The Fringe, but I wasn't unavailable.
Yeah.
Due to children, probably, to be fair. I have nothing in my life.
Bridget wasn't available because of Centre Parks.
Okay. Well, they've graduated to taking the kids out of the house.
Yes.
I can't wait for those days. Why is there an H? I want to talk about the H in Tom for a bit. You spell Tom T-H-O-M.
I do spell it T-H-O-M.
Yeah, what was that decision?
Short story, I was a pretentious child. Yeah. For a while, I changed my name to a number. Guess which one?
One?
Two.
Okay.
For a while, I changed my name to Thomas without an H, but with one of those Norwegian lines through the O... A circle above the A, S, T, U with an umlaut, C with a cedilla, K. So it has been simplified. But I like the balance of the four letters, Tom Tuck, Tom Tuck.
Were you annoyed when Jess Tom came to prominence?
No, not at all, no, because she would be eligible for tomfoolery.
Okay, yeah.
I think I should point out that that's not quite what it sounds. I run an occasional gig where only Toms can perform, but surnames count.
Okay.
So Eleanor Tom has done it.
Yep. Does Tom, so anyone called Thomas as a surname, does that...
Yep,
does
that's allowed.
That's fine.
No,
that's
Millie Thomas and Ruby Thomas. No, Millie Thomas never did it.
Okay. My dad's called Thomas.
He's allowed. It's a very low bar.
Okay, I'll see if he's available.
I've asked Tommy Shepherd to do it.
Have you?
He agreed in principle, he's just not done it yet.
My dad's called Thomas, but he goes by his middle name, Keith.
Oh.
Which is weird. I mean, it's a weird choice, isn't it? It's a weird... This one finds that funny. You call Tom and you go, no, I'm going to go with Keith. My middle name is also Keith, but I go by Richard.
Yeah, fair. Good choice. Do you know Humphrey Carr?
I do.
I was in a sketch group with him, but that's not his real name. David Humphrey Rivers Carr.
Oh, is this?
But his dad's Dave as well.
Right.
So until his dad dies, he cannot claim ownership of David.
Okay. I think Humphrey... Well, Humphrey suits Humphrey.
He does.
He is a Humphrey. Not many people would suit a Humphrey, but he does suit a Humphrey.
He's 6'7".
Yeah. And he's living in America now. Is he doing well in America with his acting and stuff like that? Has he got
No, I don't think so.
No. Okay. Does that make you happy?
No, not particularly. But his wife is doing very well.
His wife is amazing.
She's amazing. I followed her on Twitter before they'd met.
Yes,
she's brilliant.
That's good to know. Yeah. Well, he's done well for himself there, at least.
Yeah, wife-wise.
That's good. Which is all we can all hope for.
I think she wangles him some jobs here.
Does she? Yeah, that's nice of her.
He got to go on set on Modern Family because of her.
That's nice. let's talk about that. You met those guys, David Reed, who I did his podcast recently. The Inside Comedian.
Good, very good,
very good fun. Yeah, Humphrey, you met here in Edinburgh.
In the Bedlam Theatre.
Right.
At the end of George IV, doing Improverts.
Okay, so it's actually your 20th anniversary of the first time you did The Fringe, is that
right? Yes, that's true.
Though you must have been a tiny child when you...
I was 17.
Yes.
I was 17.
You won Herald Award winning... Herald Angel Award winning...
Herald Angel.
West Side Story.
West Side Story. Was there a twist? Yes, Capoeira.
What did you play in the...
Several Sharks. It was a Fringe performance, so there's lots of named sharks that you can't really afford at the Fringe. So every different character who only had a few lines got amalgamated into one character who I played, who didn't make any sense because he was a completely different person in every scene. And no one else in the company spoke Spanish, so I said, can I name the character? And they went, yeah, sure. And I went, Armario, which sounds like a name but means cupboard.
I quite like the idea of you having to just move around, though, in the back. There's just one shark moving around in the back.
The worst thing was, it was at the Bonington Resource Centre.
Okay. I'm not aware of
that. No, do you know Broughton Street?
Yes.
You know, there's a roundabout.
Yes.
Off there's East Claremont Street. You know
yes,
that?
I've stayed on
Well,
East
if you keep going down East Claremont Street, you get to Bonington Road.
Okay.
And halfway down Bonington Road, there's a daycare centre for the mentally ill. And that's Bonington Resource Centre. Cool. And we shared the space with Godspell in the evenings once they'd gone home. They'd sent us the dimensions of the space.
Yeah.
So we take that out in a hall in Leeds and did our capoeira and all the other dancing in that. And we got there and they hadn't included chairs in the dimensions they'd sent us. And we got a review that said, not so much in your face, the choreography, as quite literally in your lap. We stamped on a lot of people. We got one good review and then we were full and then it was dangerous. Remember when a review in The Scotsman actually meant people started coming?
I do. Yeah. You're only allowed to access four Scotsman's articles a week, I think, now online.
Are you?
Yeah. And without it,
I've read Kate Copstick misunderstanding Macbeth twice, so I've only got two more this month. She's either misunderstood the concept or was trying to do a joke that didn't land 3 stars.
I did read that. That wasn't my One of my free ones that I read. So you got a 2-2 in philosophy.
I did, in mental philosophy.
In mental philosophy.
Yeah, no, it used to be Edinburgh. You still had it divided between mental philosophy and physical philosophy. Which is science.
Okay, all right.
But then they named all the other sciences. They just hadn't changed the name of mental philosophy since about the 1700s.
I mean, all of philosophy is quite mental, isn't it? Because it's just... I mean, you know, literally not... I mean, not insane. It's,
Yeah, no, it's...
You have to do it with your mind. That's the sort of point of philosophy.
They changed it the year after I graduated.
Yeah. 2-2, does that mean you don't really know, you know, a bit what the meaning of life is, but you're not really sure?
Well, philosophy isn't really a thing for answers. It's a... to quote Wittgenstein, it's a...
Well, not if you've got a 2-2, it isn't there.
No, it gave me the attitudes by which I got a 2-2.
Okay.
So I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, good. Yeah, good. My niece has studied philosophy. She's very clever. She's
Where?
A professor now. She's been all over the place.
Where did she undergraduate philosophy?
She was in... I think she was a graduate in Leeds. I'm just trying to think. I think she might have been the Sorbonne or somewhere like that. She's half French.
Well.
So, you know, obviously she's halfway to knowing the meaning of life straight away. They're much cleverer than us, aren't they?
Well, they just think it's coffee and cigarettes.
Yes. Well, that's... Yeah, she might be right. She's very... It's too brainy for me. I don't understand it. She's the cleverest of the herrings, and that is quite...
The cleverest of the herrings.
That is quite... Her dad's very clever.
Again, quite a low bar. Most herrings can't even do a little bit of maths.
Her dad's very clever. My dad got a first in maths from Manchester University, and I discovered was one of the first people to ever work in computers. They had it in the 1950s. Mm. They had kind of computers that they worked in Manchester University. And he can't work his iPad now, but he was actually one of the first. He wrote this amazing paper that I didn't understand. You know, it's weird when
one
you find things.
One of those punch cards.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's weird
You find out things about your parents that you didn't imagine that they... He's just a headmaster from Somerset. I didn't think he was that clever. He seems like an idiot to me. Maybe it just all dropped off gradually. I want to know about your childhood. You were born in Leeds, which is a fine thing to be doing, and you lived in Leeds for a while, but you got...
18 months.
But you, yes. Did you return to Leeds after you went to... You studied
yes,
at the American
Leeds
International
age,
School
15.
Of... You studied at the American International School of Dhaka in Bangladesh.
Yes, but before that, we lived in Sri Lanka, Denmark, Egypt, Malawi, Zimbabwe, the Philippines, and then Bangladesh.
That's a long way to go, isn't it, for school?
Yeah. The bus ride was horrible.
So, what was the reason for that? Your parents?
Dad's a civil engineer.
Is he? Okay.
So, water infrastructure projects. Usually.
Okay.
Pipes.
Yeah.
To and fro.
Yeah.
And then managing people who do pipes.
Because people go to boarding school and things like that, but like international school,
my mum didn't let my dad take a job anywhere where there wasn't a decent international school, so she couldn't bear the idea of sending us away because they're both, I don't know, there wasn't a history in the family of sending people to boarding school.
No. So you were living with your parents.
We were traipsing around the world doing 18 month contracts until Bangladesh, which was 6 years, something like that.
Yeah, and so what kind of people go to those schools? Is it mainly...
A lot of Norwegians, a lot of Koreans.
Yeah. And does that...
A lot of Americans.
Yeah. Does that give you a kind of cosmopolitan idea of an upbringing,
well,
or is it...
The Bill Bryson quote, you never feel so much part of your own culture as when you're surrounded by people who aren't. So, like, I became much more English surrounded by these people. I'd watched a little bit of Blackadder and thought, well, I'll assert my Englishness.
You are, because you are very supremely English now.
Yeah, but I'm just...
You're a very English...
Flat vowels.
Yeah. That's interesting. You did impro at university as well, in the Improverts.
Yeah.
Is that deliberately like sounding like perverts?
I don't know. Yeah. I wasn't there when it was named. Mitch Benn was.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well, probably is.
Yeah,
there.
Probably is. There were Improv Vegetables for a little bit, but Improverts is the name that's...
Okay.
I think it's 20 years now.
Improverts is a better internet.
No, it's 30. It must be 30 years now.
Right, okay.
Miles Jupp was in the Improverts.
Yeah.
Kid?
Was he? Yeah. Because you've worked with the Penny Dreadfuls, which is still an ongoing concern.
Yes, it's been recommissioned for recording in February.
That's terrific.
Doing War of the Roses, I think.
Yeah.
One job a year. Great.
But it's not, you know, it's nice that's still going. And I was just re-listening this morning to one of your Radio 4's straight-to-DVD, Disney straight-to-DVD shows. And this has come out as... okay. How wonderful. It's on DVD.
I've got 11 of them.
Is that in total or just today?
Today.
Just today, that's
good. I have another 23 at home.
You need to have more than... To be honest, DVDs are dead.
Yeah, but the name of the show is Tom Tuck Goes Straight to DVD. So if you don't produce a DVD, it's a bit of a stupid idea. Although it is the show from 2011.
Yeah.
And I only recorded it last year, so Tom Tuck has not gone straight to DVD. Circuitously.
So you watched all 54, there must be more than 54 now, straight to DVD.
No, because the business model stopped.
Because of the DVDs not...
Yeah, so they didn't make any more.
Right.
So 54, I think, remains.
So and that
I've watched every all 54 Disney straight to DVD movies so that you don't have to.
Yeah. They're basically
You're welcome.
Sequels to Aladdin and The Lion King and things like this.
That was the very first one, Return of Jafar.
Yeah.
And then Aladdin 3, King of Thieves.
Yeah, don't need to tell
and
me.
Then, have you seen Simba's Bride?
I've not seen. I don't think I've seen any straight to DVD.
I can lend you that on Blu-ray.
Can you?
Empire Magazine sent me that.
What gave you the idea for watching all of these children's films?
Oh, watching Little Mermaid 2 and 3 back to back.
Yeah, but why did you do that when you don't have children?
Someone gave an ex-girlfriend the trilogy box set. What's the first one? Good. Yeah, let's carry on. What's the next one? It's not good. It's not a good film. But then we go, we started though. So we'll finish. Three's really like, all right. Three's all right. Just skip two. You've seen the first Little Mermaid. The second one is the first one, but backwards. So, you know, at the end, she's in the castle with legs. And Eric.
Yeah.
And then so they have a child, starts where the first one ends, and the child, because of some plot, wants to go swimming. It's like the exact inverse of the plot of the first one. And because it's a child who's been told it's not to do something, it really wants to go swimming now. Then it goes and meets a half fish, and fucking nonsense. Horrible.
Yeah.
Three.
I mean, it's a little...
The amount of Sebastian backstory.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say. It's a road movie. I'll leave it there.
What's your favourite of all the straight-to-DVD Disney films of the 54 you've seen?
I'm pretty fond of Lion King 3.
Okay. This is the one which is sort of slightly...
Lion King 1.5 or Lion King 3, Hakuna Matata. There's different US and UK release titles.
Okay, of course. We all knew.
Well, you're an international show, so I thought I should point it out.
Yes. What's so good about that one?
It's the most meta thing that's ever been placed in front of children deliberately. Because if Lion King 1 is Hamlet, it definitely is. Then Lion King 3 is Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. And that is some highbrow shit for kids. They're watching the first one.
Yeah.
In a cinema. I mean, in a film that didn't get a cinema release.
It'd be quite good if that's all it was just two of the characters watching the film.
No, they pause it, so presumably they know the projectionist.
Okay, yeah.
And they go, well, let's tell everybody about what we did. What, there was a second unit director on the first one, was there? And then they sort of do loads of backstage antics.
Yeah.
It's quite good. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's a very funny... The radio show is very funny. I never saw the live show, but I'm presuming there's some similarities.
Yes, it's about twice as long.
Okay. It was more than that, isn't it? It's sort of about your romantic life.
Yeah.
Well.
It's actually a show about nostalgia, but if you tell people that, they won't come.
Will they come if they think it's about DVDs?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I did it for 2 years in a row. It went quite well.
And you were nominated for, was that for Best Newcomer?
Best Newcomer in my 10th consecutive year at the Fringe.
Yeah, it's good work.
First solo. Though, but, you know.
The rules are very weird with the Comedy Awards.
Yeah, they're very weird.
It's
a David Reed joke.
Yeah.
I just won a race and I came second. Sorry, I meant debut.
But when I did Christ on a Bike, which was my first completely solo show, but it was about my 13th Fringe.
Yeah.
I made the Perrier panel, as they think they were still then. I made them debate for half an hour whether I should be eligible for Best.
Well, we got chucked off. Penny Dreadfuls got chucked off in
right.
2008
yeah.
from the main award
yeah.
For being a play. What? Other things have won that have been plays.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to do a play. We thought it was the best vehicle for the fucking jokes we were doing. so there's only, if you look on Wikipedia, there's only four nominees that year for best show. And Nika, to apologise, put us on in the West End run for nominees. Damn it's you, Bruce Dessau.
It's a strange fish, the awards. I've never been. I've done 25 Fringes and I've never been nominated for any of the comedy.
But you've had your name in a TV show title, yeah. And that used to be disqualified, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I know, but I still did quite a few before that happened. Yeah. But then that's interesting that you can be best newcomer because you did a solo show away from the other guys. Mm. But that was why I was arguing. I just wanted to be eligible for the main award, really. So I made them argue that I could be eligible for the best newcomer. But I think they didn't discuss whether I would be eligible for the actual award. It doesn't matter, you know. It hasn't done me any harm apart from not being on TV, has it? That's the only thing. And, you know, stymieing my... I think the rule should be if you're playing a venue under 150 seats or less, you're eligible. I think that should be the... Because then, Eddie, if you're successful and you're playing to 400 people, then you're already successful. And if you,
You have to do a ratio of tickets sold, surely.
No, Russell Brand came back one year and did a
If you're in 150 room, you're selling out every day.
But it's still
in a 400 room and you've got 11 people in.
Yeah, but that's not that's you've
they're eligible.
You've made that mistake. You've made that decision. Okay. So that's you can say, look, I'm going to go in a small room and then I'm eligible for the award. I think that should be it because otherwise it's too complicated. I think if then Russell Brand came back one year,
one of the Russells,
did a tiny room and he should have been eligible. I think that's fine. That's my feeling. It doesn't really matter either way. Let's do some emergency questions. My Edinburgh emergency question is. And which we'll talk about your other Edinburgh shows before we go. If you could take one item from any museum or art gallery in the world and own it, you're allowed to go into any that you're allowed in. You can take one thing home, and it can be any museum or art gallery, any kind of thing. What would you have?
Probably a Rothko.
Okay.
Not sure which one.
Okay. Do you like him?
Yes. Otherwise, it'd be a weird answer.
What do you like about Rothko? I'm trying to think what he does. Rothko. I know the name.
Oh, it's
the circles.
No. Washes of colour and slight changes of colour.
Okay.
It's very calming.
I'll do that for you. I'm not one of those up for you.
No, he's quite good at it.
Is he?
Yeah. I don't mind a bit of outside art.
Okay. But, I've got some felt tips at home with my daughters.
I've got a lot of Sharpies.
I mean, we can do it.
Black and green. Do me a Rothko.
I'll do it on here for you while we're doing the next question. Okay. That's really on that. That live.
Okay. I think you're just weak.
Yeah, it might be. I've been dancing. It was the best disco I've ever been to. But then I am a paedophile, so it's... I'm not. There we go, I've done it. Like that?
Yeah, love
That's
it.
That's good. All right, you can have that for free. I'll tear out for you later. I'll do one from the books. These books are available after the show in the foyer, as is 11 copies of Tom Tuck's DVD. I don't think... I'm going to make a bet. I don't think Tom Tuck is going to need 11 DVDs today. That is my... Let's make a bet.
A tenner.
You can buy my book for a tenner. You can buy two books for 20. And you get some free stickers if you do that. Here's question 726 if you're playing along at home in the green edition, 1001 questions. Would you rather have the living face of your own twin who had been mostly absorbed in utero staring out of your stomach? It would be able to think independently and talk and pass comment on what you were up to and chat with you when you're lonely. Or live on top of a pole in the desert for 30 years like Simeon Stylites?
I think tummy friend.
Yeah? Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. What do you think you would chat with? Because it would be like your twin. It wouldn't be
Well, it's just I could harmonise when singing. and he'd be behind the guitar so no one could tell. It would be eerie.
But slightly muffled.
No, but if you put it far enough away, you can sort of create a resonating chamber.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That would work. It's almost like...
Practice your falsetto, tummy friend.
All right, I'll ask you this follow-up question, which is 727. Would you rather be the face of a twin mostly absorbed in utero, staring out the stomach of your otherwise regular twin? You'd be able to think independently and talk and pass comment on what they're up to and chat with them when you're lonely. Or be the prisoner of a Randy Bigfoot who so far has treated you kindly enough but has a look in its eye.
I think given I've sentenced yeah. my twin yeah. to the, I have to morally accept that one.
Okay, that's fair enough. I think it might be
do
okay.
unto others.
Yes, exactly. Very Christian of you. That's nice.
Some of the God ideas are all right.
They are. Some of them are very nice. Would you think that would be better than not existing, wouldn't it? But it'd be,
yeah,
yeah. And yeah. I mean, most twins that are absorbed in utero just turn up as a clump of hair somewhere. So you'd be lucky, wouldn't you? Some teeth in the stomach is usually what you find—a couple of teeth in there.
You wouldn't. Would he have to be fed? Or would I have to be fed were I him?
I think that you would get your nutrients from the host body.
Easy. You yeah. don't have to take your shirt off yeah. at dinner. Yeah. that was a real, real sticking point.
It
for
would
me.
Mean you could have a. You could keep your beard and your. Your utero twin could shave, and then my wife would be happy either way, wouldn't she? If you were, if it was me, she would could so kiss the should, kiss I'm, the soft lips of my twin, and yeah. I could have my stubbly lips. What?
An innie kit.
Is it? Oh, everything else was well, fine after there, but now my wife's
where,
having.
Where is your belly button in this scenario?
I think it might probably just in the face of the twin.
So the nose, if you've got an outie, that's the nose.
Yeah, it might pop out. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you got an innie or an outie?
I've got an innie, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, most of
mouth, then?
Yeah, it could be a mouth.
Little teeth?
There could be little teeth in there. Then you can, my wife could... Why shouldn't the utero twin... It's of age, it's not a baby. It's the same age, it's exactly the same age as me.
Twin.
Why shouldn't it be able to kiss my wife? You're saying he shouldn't have a sex twins. Life because he's an in utero...
Most twins don't allow their wives to kiss them.
But if you're in that situation, if you're in a Siamese twin, you know, that's. If you, no. you have to
you'd,
find some
you'd
way
get
around.
A curtain. You'd get a curtain.
You can't just get a curtain.
I think you'd get a curtain.
What if you're, you know, you're sharing most of the body, but the genital area is they've got separate everything else but shared genitals?
It's like dark glasses.
The curtain isn't going to do it.
Dark glasses and headphones.
Got to think about these things. You have to think about these things in case they happen to you, is what I'm saying. Let's talk quickly before we go. It's been a lot of fun having you on, Tom. Hopefully we'll get you back on. Another time. What other shows are you in Edinburgh? You're doing ACMS?
ACMS, which is finished.
Okay.
It was the award show last night.
Okay.
Everyone who's been on at the Alternative Comedy Memorial Society throughout the Fringe is eligible for every award, and we have a random number generator. And also every bridge in Edinburgh is eligible for every award.
Okay.
And if North Bridge wins an award, as it won quite a few last night, then anyone can get up and accept on behalf of North Bridge. Okay. It's a very dumb show.
Yes. Well, ACMS is a... I mean, how would you describe it? It's just a show where anything goes and it's for more...
Yeah, it's providing a place for experimentation.
Yeah.
But we're full every night, so you can judge whether the bit's any good.
Yes.
Rather than do a weird thing to 11 people, you get no information
yes,
out of that.
That's true, yes.
And then I've been doing Tom Tuck Sings the Mountain Goats for no earthly reason.
Okay.
Like 2 hours a day, I've been playing the songs of a band you probably haven't heard of in a shed.
Okay. And has anyone come and seen that?
Yeah, quite a few.
Oh, it would be better if you've been on your own.
But no, people just want, there's like one or two people who
wander in,
come in, and then just people, a stag do wandered in last year and go, is this a show? Sure.
Any
I
more
stay for like five songs, it was great.
Any more, are you doing any more of those? Is that
yeah, probably today at some point.
Yeah, at some point.
Yeah.
Just people have to find you, find out where you are.
It'll be late near the bus.
Okay.
It's a shed near a bus, near an underpass.
Okay.
If you can find it, you want to be there.
So it's the true spirit of the Fringe. It's that kind
so.
Of, you know, you're trying lots of different exciting things out, which I think is what the Fringe should be about, right?
Yeah. So it's about getting better as you try.
Yes. Well, hopefully. Or not. Noble failures is what ACMS
noble failure,
is all
yeah,
about.
So after every act at ACMS, we come on and we shout, a failure! And the audience have to shout back, a noble failure. And we have permitted heckles.
Yes.
You can heckle at any point, but only from the list of permitted heckles. I think they're 21. You can see them at noblefailure.org/heckles.
I love this .org. It's, and it's very clever.
We don't make any money out of it.
It's like the It's the 21st Century Club Zarathustra, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly,
which
yeah.
is which was an amazing.
I never saw that, but you. Yeah,
it's I was I did occasionally did it. Stuart and Simon Munnery and Richard Thomas is where so, Jerry Springer the Opera kind of.
Two years in a row from a random number generator, Simon Munnery won Best Worst Human. 2 years in a row. Mark Dean Quinn won that yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good to see that it isn't, because if it happens three times in a row, then it probably is
the
universe telling
on.
Us something. Well, I'm sure you'll be back next year. I'm sure you'll be back with more. Do look out for Tom. Absolutely fantastic. And the Penny Dreadfuls. Tom Tuck, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be at the back after the show. Don't buy his DVD. Do not buy it. Do not buy it. Don't encourage him. Do not encourage the man. Cool. Well, as I said, we will be at the back of the... just on the entrance as you go out on the way out. I'm very happy to say hello and sign your free programme that you've been given here in the audience, if you're here, which you are. But some of them aren't, so, you know, the future people aren't here. I'm talking to some other people. I'm not mad. There's millions of people listening to this in Australia. I'm not mad. if you would like to say hello, that is fine. I'll also be selling copies of my books. Emergency Questions, 1,001 of them in there. I've also got the original Emergency Questions, which cost the same but only has 500 questions in it. People still buy this one because, I don't know, it's smaller. I mean, in a way, less questions is maybe a good thing. I don't know. I don't know if that's true. If you buy them both, you get some stickers. You can buy the stickers. They're cool kid stickers. They're lovely. I'm very happy to sell those to you, but you do not have to buy anything after the show. Come and say hello if you would like. And please, if you like the programmes, there will be people holding buckets at the end of the show, and there'll probably be a bucket on my table if you would like to make a donation to Scope. That would be most welcome, but you do not have to. It is just a nice thing. It's just a nice thing to do. I've said I've had an inordinate amount of old £1 coins in the collection. I got one, and I thought, oh, that's weird. You know, I haven't seen one of those. You know, you'd think by now someone would have taken that. You can just go to the bank and change them. There's still currents. But then, over the next few days, I was having two or three, and I haven't seen any in the collection for a long time. So somebody, well, Liam's here every day. You come in, bring in loads of old £1 coins. I mean, it doesn't matter. They still count. You stuck them in the machine, it still counts. So if you're English and you're about to go home, chuck your use of the Scottish money into the bucket. You won't be able to use it when you go home. So please throw in notes, and I will get rid of that. You can just take those to a bank and change them as well.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest today is probably best known for his appearance on England's top 53 footy goals. Which I like. I'm sure that must have been some kind of parodic element. We will find out. Will you please welcome the amazing Tom Rosenthal, ladies and gentlemen? Another Tom. Hello. Welcome. Pick up a microphone and sit down. And welcome to the show. Lovely to have you on.
Thank you.
53 best goals was this.
Wow,
we
all know them, don't we?
That's where we know you from. But
yeah.
What are those 53
Gaza.
Goals? Gaza was one.
Gaza did 50 of them. Lineker.
Yeah, Lineker.
Ferdinand. Yeah. And then Ruud Gullit, weirdly. Okay. That was the last one, yeah. He popped up with an oggy.
Okay.
No, I don't remember doing that show. I'm pretty sure I did it because I've made a few career errors
okay.
In my life. And they are all involved in basically my dad, who is a famous sports presenter.
He is, yeah.
Going, oh, my mate's making this show and he'd love to get you involved. Or my mate's doing this gig, he'd love to get you involved. And then I do it because I want to make my dad proud and I want yeah. his friends to like me. And then they're the worst things I've ever done. the worst gig of my life was the Ray Wilkins Seven Charities Golf Challenge.
Yeah.
Which is a gig that is just emblazoned into my nightmares forever. Because it's like a corporate event.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to do like 20 minutes of material to a room full of people who were each on either side and didn't want to hear from Jim Rosenthal's son.
Yeah, fair enough.
And it went very badly. After 7 minutes, I was sort of trying to do my jokes. And then Ronnie Irani, the county cricketer who was hosting the event and doing very well, he was doing very well with some quite blue material.
Yeah.
He just literally went, that's enough now. And I had to stop doing my comedy. And I don't know why I talk about it because it's not even funny. It's so horrible.
I like those kind of gigs where I did one on a boat. That boat in London, I think the Tashiell Castle used to be on, but it was like a. It was a Christmas party, I think, for London Underground or something like that, or Oyster Card or something like that. It was something very weird. And no one was interested. And I was doing my act, and I did a bit where I got to... I used to do a routine about the hand signs for gays and how it should be anal, it should be like that. And a man literally came off and took the microphone off me in time to make... And I wasn't even standing on a stage, so no one was really watching, but I was literally grabbed and said, thank you very much, you have to go now. They still paid me.
I actually rejected my fee.
Did you? Okay.
My dad's sort of friend who had arranged for it, I rang him up and I was like, I can't accept this for charity. Yeah, I can't accept this money. And he was like, no, yeah, you're right. Straight away.
Can you please send us some more money to make up for what you have done?
The 53 Footy England goals or whatever, that was just another example of a terrible show. And then basically I do it, I'm not fine on it, and I get tweeted abuse. That's how it works. So I mean, I'm very much thankful to my dad for giving me life.
Yes.
And obviously putting a roof over my head and paying for my schooling. But all the jobs he's got me have been totally shit.
Yes.
And I resent him for ever trying to do that.
Well, I like your dad because... I like your dad because when I did my show... And you may know this. When I did my show, Hit the Moustache, your dad was the only person who... I'm not sure it was within earshot. I think someone maybe emailed me afterwards who chastised me for wearing a Hitler moustache.
I remember. Do you remember what his exact phrasing was?
You tell me.
I can't remember. I remember the joke. It was just something like,
he's had a fucking nightmare or something like that.
Is that a Hitler moustache?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. I think it was literally... I think it was literally something like that. I was at an Al Murray gig and he was also at the Al Murray gig at the O2 and he saw me and said, Hitler moustache. Oh, dear. So he's the only person... If he'd been around in 1933, he might have been able to stop Hitler, is what I'm saying, because nobody else stopped me, but Jim Rosenthal shook his head, and that might have been enough.
Do you think if someone had shook their head at Hitler, he would have stopped?
Oh, dear. What's he doing? What's he up to?
You know what? You're right, actually. Yeah, I should rethink this whole thing.
So I do like him, you have a lot to live up to if you want to emulate your father in my eyes.
I will never pass any judgment on your facial hair. I think it's excellent.
I've got a moustache now. And you could say, oh dear. let's talk. You're coming up this weekend. You're playing Pike in Dad's
Oh,
Island.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm playing Pike this weekend, coming up on UK Gold.
Don't tell them, Pike.
that's sort of the job, isn't it? You guys excited for some Dad's Army?
Yeah.
Three people are? Good. Yeah. It's annoying. People think it's not a remake. I want to be clear, it's not a remake. You get a lot of hassle for doing a remake. Yeah. It's just there was three episodes that were lost in the second series that have been disappeared to the archive because some bozo in the BBC recorded over them.
Yeah.
And so we've remade the three episodes that you can't watch.
Yeah.
And it was a massive honour. It was an absolute treat. And I think they're quite funny, really.
Yeah. You know? It's a nice thing to do. The actor Kevin Elton.
Yeah, we got some great actors.
Yeah.
Kevin McAnally, Matthew Horn, Robert Bathurst. Timothy West. I can keep listing actors if you want, but
are you worried about falling victim to the curse of Dad's Army? Because
what's that?
Nearly all the nearly all the cast of Dad's Army have died.
They are, yeah.
Terrible.
Well,
they filmed that, so there may be a curse there.
Yeah.
Luckily, Pike is the longest
he's still
living
about,
one.
Actually, yeah.
And Frank was the vicar. Frank the is the,
yeah.
vicar in the who plays the vicar in the Edward.
Oh,
put you on your,
but yeah, no,
I'm putting you on the spot there.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but apparently he's alive.
Yeah.
Ian Lavender is still alive.
Ian Lavender is, as we speak, still alive. But don't want to put a... And he has been a guest on my Edinburgh version of this show before.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Well, how did you find him?
He was good. Well, he was on with Tony Law, who had just been out all night taking drugs and getting drunk.
Uh-huh.
And was literally terrifying. So he was slightly terrified because he came... I think I talked to him and then Tony Law appeared.
Yeah.
And then Ian Lavender wondered what was going on and looked
sure.
like, and was quite scared.
Yeah, so, because I mean, I was definitely out last night drinking, not no drugs, Dad. but I wonder, I think it kind of affects me in a sort of different way where I feel like I'm sort of about to die, really. So
yes.
I don't know whether if Tony Law sort of comes back at like, I'm so sorry if it feels like I'm going to sort of fall asleep, because that's very much how it feels to me. Right? And I was backstage just really panicking because I didn't realise how long this conversation is supposed to last. and how sort of naturally vivacious and witty Tom Tuck was with all his facts. And I was just, you know, thinking, well, I've got nothing. I've got nothing, although I did get a 2-1 in philosophy and spell my name correctly.
Yeah, that's true. Two one is still failing to know what the meaning of life is. Though I'm only interested in people after first.
We're all going to die. If you're in Dad's Army, anyway.
That is true. Well, we'll look out for. Let's talk about your Edinburgh show before we crack with everything else, just in case, because it's again I've done a show touching on this subject, literally. Your show is called Manhood.
Yeah.
With the emphasis on the hood part of the
matter. Sure.
It's a very clever title.
Well, I'm a very clever guy.
You are very clever. It's about, I mean, I did a show all about the penis, of which circumcision was a very tiny part that I just tossed off and threw away.
Yes, very good.
And yours is all about circumcision.
Basically, yeah. Just being circumcised as a little baby and being a bit annoyed about it. That's my bit of skin, I want it back.
Yeah.
I just don't really feel like you hear people saying that very often. But I've spent my whole life being like, eh? What's this about? I looked into it and it turns out, you know, it's sort of all crazy. It's kind of obviously quite a crazy thing to do.
It is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Have you attempted to grow it back?
So, it's a joke. But, you know, people do that.
I know, they
like,
do it.
Yeah, there is like people out there who try and restore their foreskin by like putting like weights and stuff on it. But you know, yeah, it is a bit rough. But they're just trying to put the horrible thing is that it got cut off them.
Yeah,
they're just trying to restore it to factory settings. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not that they're doing the system reset. Like
it's a strange practice, and like obviously there's a religious element to it, which may be the case in your case. I don't know.
Well, no, not really. No. I talk about it. I mean, I wasn't raised Jewish.
No.
And I've got no practicing Jews in my family for like a few generations, really. But everyone always thinks I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
Because obviously the whole, have you seen your face and your name? Like, I understand the vibe that I give off. But no, the reasons for my circumcision were sort of more extraneous. I was discussing with you previously one of the reasons that my mother had sort of relations with a man who didn't sort of wash himself particularly well and didn't want me to have a stinky dick. So she had me circumcised. So
I mean, there's love behind that decision.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing with circumcision. There is a love behind it a lot. People do it to their baby because they don't want to have them done to them when they're adults. But it's like it's a consent issue. It's like...
It's
inconsistent with
it's deeply weird. When I talked about it in the show, I sort of said... you know, I'm not going to come down on either side of the fence, although cutting off the part of the genitals of a baby seems a deeply weird thing to do to me.
Seems a bit strong,
you know, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really matter that much. But it's, I mean, obviously it does to you.
Well,
but
it's very interesting. Why do you say that?
Because, I mean, it's not... I just think I wouldn't do it to my child.
Sure.
I didn't do it to my child, and I'm glad that it wasn't done to me.
Yeah.
And I do think it's a very strange thing to do. It's obviously
so you've just changed. I leant back, and you were like, "Well, he's going to kick off."
If it's been done, it's because I know from what you know. I did a joke about it on my stone clearing podcast, and then someone said, "Oh, well, I just want to say, you know, I was circumcised because of this," and it was literally just people are very sensitive about the other way of being, well, I've been circumcised, but it's not a big deal. It's sort of not the end of the world, right? But it's, but it, but it is.
No, it isn't the end of the world at all.
It's the end of your penis, right?
No, but I would say, I mean, there are people who it does affect very seriously, and there are like cases of like botched circumcisions where it kind of is. I mean, they grow up unable to have sex.
Yeah.
So there's been cases of men who've committed suicide because of the like issues that they, and some babies get forced into gender reassignment. So like, as much as it's not the end of the world for the majority of people who go through it, what you are is taking a kind of pointless risk with your child's life, which, you know, there have been cases where babies have died as a result of circumcisions, and like that's in hospitals. And loads of babies die in Africa when they do these like tribal circumcisions. So as much as it is like, yeah, for most people they're like, well, it happened to me and I don't have a problem with it, the kind of fact that it happens at all is taking unnecessary risk with some people's lives, which is a human rights violation, really.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's weird, you know, it's weird to, and especially now in this day and age where consent is so important.
Yeah, it's kind of very inconsistent with the rest of our values. Yeah. Like, it sort of makes sense in the Victorian era when we were sort of like up for chimney sweeps and having slaves and stuff, but now everyone's all in, the idea now is that we should all be living our best lives and we should all be experiencing as much pleasure as possible. And what you do know is that when you're circumcised, it removes sensory tissue, so your sexual experience is dulled, basically. And you're also just making a choice for someone else, which is about their body, which is infringing on their sort of rights to bodily integrity.
And if I was God...
Sure. Which, you know, in a way...
I'm not saying I'm not.
Yeah, in this situation, I think the most godlike is definitely you.
I've made people with a foreskin, and then suddenly people are locking them off.
It does feel that way, yeah.
They're saying my decision was wrong to put that foreskin there.
Exactly. I mean, this is... Because it's never... Circumcision, even though it's done in Islamic culture, is never mentioned in the Quran. And, like, in the Quran, it does say, like, God, you know, created us and perfected our forms.
Yeah.
It doesn't say, like... He perfected our forms, apart from the bit at the end of your dick. He fucked that bit up. Clean that bit up yourselves. You know, he doesn't say that.
And it's good for protect. I think it's meant. There's an argument. It's there to protect your glands if you're walking through some brambles and stuff like that in the wild.
Yeah, absolutely.
When we were in the wild,
this is the thing. When you were a caveman, you'd be bashing into stuff left, right, and centre. Yeah, you need a bit of coverage.
Yeah. So if you're ever walking naked through some brambles, you're in trouble, right?
Well, I see the show and you'll find out that I'm fine. I mean, I guess if I'm ever naked, I've got to watch out for the brambles, I suppose. But I think that's the case for everyone, isn't it? Men and women.
I mean, even if you've got a foreskin, watch out for the brambles. Because you might catch it on the brambles and the foreskins might come off on the brambles. And then you've been circumcised and, you know.
I know, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly my point. So Dad's Army's on.
It's an interesting thing to. It's interesting to do a whole show about it, and I think it is a big deal. I guess when I did Talking Cock, I kind of did slightly back away from it. I mean, just because it's so weird. There was a guy who reconstructed his foreskin, and he was a sort of expert on it, and we sort of said, "Have you got any photos?" You know, that we couldn't put it. When I did the book, we said there were any photos to show the technique. And we had a female picture researcher, and he literally sent her 1,000 pictures of his own cock.
Yeah.
And it made me feel sick. So it was really weird as well, the pictures. But like 1,000 of them was like a really...
Yeah, I mean, when I was a teenager, so I've been obsessed with this my whole life, basically, and I got really into the websites where men do that. And they have like these like ratings of like how circumcised you are.
Yeah.
And so it'd be like a C1 to C10, and there'd be guys, it's like a bodybuilding forum, they'd be like, "I went from a C4 to a C7 in 6 months, man." I was like, well, that's impressive. Well done, Joe from Alabama. And I just saw a lot of dick pics when I was a kid, you know. Just got obsessed with it. You know. And I think my mum was very confused by my internet history.
So your advice would be to mothers concerned about the cleanliness of their son's genitals, teach them how to wash their
teach people. Them how to wash it, yeah, I think.
So that's
the
another
idea,
way around, isn't it? Teach them how to wash
their people. Yeah. I don't know, really. It's not that hard, is it? Washing the foreskin, I don't really know. Is it?
I thought you were saying my penis. It's all right. It doesn't take that long. It's worth... I think out of all my shows, that's the central message of all my shows.
Yeah.
Is wash your penis to men. It certainly was Talking Cock, that was my main message. I believe one of your main messages.
I wish the guy who had sex with my mum had seen
dating,
your stuff.
One of the main messages of that from women was wash your penises to men. And Women can help wash them. They're concerned. Wash your penis. It's there. That's it. If that's on my gravestone. And then it'd be like a warning. Wash your penis or die. Which could happen. No, it's, yeah. It's. Do you think you're going to manage to stop the process of circumcision through comedy?
Yes.
Good. I suppose what...
I don't know. I always wanted to do this show. And it is a bit nuts to do it all about one topic, but I just want people to talk about it a bit more. Because I think a lot of people have come up to me after the show and talked to me about their dicks, which is, you know, very interesting. And I think one of the problems with circumcisions especially is that the foreskin's been quite a sort of maligned part of our body for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And people see removing it, or even doctors see removing it as like a benefit without seeing it as a potential harm, really. And the evidence is that it is sexually inhibitive, and it does make it damages you sexually, and it makes sex a different experience for men and women, and that's just not really something people ever talk about. So I think if people have issues with their foreskin, they're very keen to get rid of it because it's impinging upon their quality of life, but what people don't really talk about is what you then miss. And I think especially as men age, when they've been circumcised around my age, it's very hard for them to orgasm, and like they become like sexually like impotent and stuff. And it's just not talked about because it's such an embarrassing thing to discuss.
I mean, this is what Talking Cock was about as well, is the way that the penis is this comedic thing, and men don't really talk about it in a serious way.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to talk about it in a serious way, even with both of us knowing that and doing shows about that.
Yeah,
still,
that's the thing.
Because it's still funny. I mean, it's still the penis is still
hopefully,
comedic, and all, especially mine. But it's incredibly funny. And again, I suppose it goes back to, and this is coming through, and I think in quite a few men's shows now, I think it's that way that men don't talk about personal issues, don't talk about these, you know, anything that about feelings or about their mental health or about their physical health. And hopefully that's a good thing if men are able to do that a bit more, rather than just asking when's International Men's Day, which is so far what they, that's how they vent usually about this, these pent-up feelings.
Sure.
Yeah. Good. Well, let's. When's the show on? I mean, are you going to talk?
Oh, it's it's on at 6:30 and Pleasance 2 for two more days, and then I'm going on a tour. If you go to tomrosenthal.net, you can find out where I'm going, because I don't remember.
Brilliant. And I'd have to say, I'm a big fan of plebs. I know Friday Night Dinner is probably your best known. I watched all of Plebs.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's very funny.
I've
kind of always wanted to do a sitcom about that subject. I know Frankie Howard did one.
Yeah.
Up Pompeii, but this is a bit different. I mean, it's not that different, but it's a bit different than Frankie Howard's version.
Is it fair to say it's less homosexual? That's all I really know about Up Pompeii.
I would say more. I think Up Pompeii, Frankie Howard was very, very heterosexual in that.
Yeah.
He was having sex with slave girls and stuff.
Sure.
But, you know, with a little wink. Plebs is written by Tom Basden.
Yes, sir.
Who's a very talented man.
Yes, he is. Yes, and a man called Sam Leifer, who's also the director.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And it's just set in Rome.
Basically, yeah. Old Rome.
And yeah, lads in Rome.
Lads getting about town.
Yeah. And are you doing more of those? There's been.
Yeah, we just finished filming it halfway through July.
Right.
Which was a great Edinburgh prep.
Do you film it out in Romania?
We film it in Bulgaria, yes. Ever been to Bulgaria?
I've not been to Bulgaria. Well, how is it out there?
Anyone been to Bulgaria?
That one. Yeah, it's great. It's different. Yeah. They speak Bulgarian.
So you're flying out. Why is it filmed in Bulgaria? It's just that's the
cost. It's got a big ancient Roman set,
right.
And you can get a lot of Bulgarians cheap.
Yeah.
Basically, you can get them cheap.
Because you're flying out all these. I mean, you know, kind of everyone's been in Plebs at some point.
Everyone?
Yeah, not me, but everyone.
Yeah, we've had a few people. This year we've got Amanda Holden, Tony Robinson. Me.
Yeah,
I'm in it. I'm definitely in it.
Everyone.
We do get some great people, and it's always really fun to work with them.
Barry from EastEnders has been in it.
Sean Williamson was in it.
Yeah, he was.
I wish I could tell you more about that guy.
I've talked
everything
to
you would hope.
I've talked to him for an hour, so I can
tell
you a lot of things.
And what was your assessment?
Well, it hasn't gone out yet, so I don't want to... He's a very sweet man.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Okay.
He's a sweet man, but he did describe himself as a beer monster as well. So, like, he's got light and shade.
Well, I'm imagining now that when actors come out to... When they come out to Bulgaria and they're away from home for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I'm imagining some shenanigans go on.
Well, basically,
not for you, Tom, but for the other people in the...
I mean, I can't name names.
No.
But, Bulgaria is the place to escape your realities, you know, all the horrible, crippling things that are worrying you. You're like, I'm out here, no one remember. And I remember.
Yeah.
I got a lot of dirt. How do you think I keep getting these TV shows? I know the bad joke about everyone.
If it used to be, if it happens, it doesn't count if it happens on tour. But now, if it doesn't happen in Bulgaria, it doesn't count if it happens in Bulgaria. The actors are awful, awful human beings.
Yeah.
They're vapid, vacuous, sex-obsessed. It's fair. It's a fair comment. And is there more Friday Night Dinner coming out?
Yes,
as well?
We're filming that in November, so we could go on TV next year.
You're doing very well. It's annoying, isn't it? I'm very annoyed by it.
You should have seen me at that Ray Wilkins gig, man. Fucking hell. They are very confused as to what's going on.
Good. And let's see. Are we on IMDb? We've got 2 minutes. You have two credits. I nearly chose this as your... You've got two credits as a composer.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a composer?
There's someone who's got the same name as me.
He's called
Tom Rosenthal. He's a very, very talented musician. Yeah, because people are idiots. Even my friend went to one of my gigs in Brighton and went to the venue that he was performing at 2 months later. It's very confusing, and I get messages on a daily basis being like, can I use your music in my short film? And every time I'm just like, yep. Crack on. Enjoy. I'm fucking his royalties up big time. There's also a third Tom Rosenthal who's the son of Ronnie Rosenthal. Who's a footballer.
Oh yeah.
And my dad met Ronnie Rosenthal, who's a footballer, and said that his son hates me and the other Tom Rosenthal, because when he googles himself, all he gets is musicians and comedians. He's furious about it.
Who does he play for, Tom Rosenthal?
He played for Watford for a bit, and now he plays in Belgium, and he's not famous enough to oust me and Tom.
No.
To be fair.
That must be annoying.
The third most famous Tom Rosenthal. I mean, that's...
And there must be a fourth somewhere. There must be another
Fingers crossed. Anyone, get in touch.
Yeah.
Me and Tom Rosenthal do hang out.
Yeah.
We are friends. I went to his birthday. He's friends with some pretty cool people. And he made cups of his name for his own birthday. So now I've got a cup of my name. Sneaky little system.
Yeah.
To get a name on your cup. That's my wash your dicks and find someone who has the same name as you and go to their birthday and get a cup. Top tips.
You
thanks
have
guys.
To hope that they've got the cups with their name.
Yeah,
on their
that's the thing is that's so weird, isn't it? Who would do that? Who would make a name? He's a nicer guy than that makes him sound. Drink with my name on it. No. Yeah.
And I reckon we've got 1 minute left. The staggering news I found out backstage about you is you can't grow a beard or a moustache.
Is it staggering?
Yeah.
I just, nothing comes out. Nice. And I'm really, I don't know what it means. What does that mean? I'm 31, I can't grow anything.
Look at this.
I'm rubbing it in my face. I'm not jealous, I'm just confused. It's just like, what is that? It's like I can't cry or something. Like, isn't it just a bit like, well, what's going on with your body if you can't grow a beard when you're 31?
Where does hair grow anywhere else?
Everywhere else. Cakes and the stuff. does anyone know what that, has anyone ever met anyone like that? What is it? What's going on? When's it going to happen, guys? Just stare at me. Give me an answer.
All of my audience have beard. Everyone in this audience has a beard, don't you?
Yeah. You're...
Everyone. If you look at every... They're taunting you with their hair. Look at the front row here. Look at that guy. That guy looks like Oddbod from Not Carry On Screaming. That's how much hair he's got. Well, it's been lovely to have you on. I hope you will. I know you're always in Bulgaria, but I'd love to have you come on to...
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I'm sorry I was so tired. But it's the end of the fringe and I want to die. So I'm very, very thankful to come on. And nice to meet you all.
Well, I hope we will see you again on the podcast another time. Ladies and gentlemen, the amazing Tom Rosenthal! We are back for one more show tomorrow. with Flo and Joan and John Cairns. That's a very good lineup. If I can sell 42 more tickets, then my run will have averaged 200 ticket sales a day, which is what I tried to set out to do. And I know I'm going to sell 41 more tickets and just fail. That is. So please come to our hotel, your friends, if you want to come. And I'm on tour. Go to richhaney.com to find out about that. I'll see you at the back in a second if you want to. If you're not, not if you're at home, only if you're in the theatre. Okay, bye. You have been listening to Rahulastapa at the Edinburgh Fringe with me, Richard Herring. Thank you to Pest for providing the music. Thank you to everyone at the Newtown Theatre and The Stand. And everyone at GoFasterStrike.com. The producer is James Hingley. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStrike.com production. Go to Rahulastapa.co.uk to find out more. RichardHerring.com/gigs to find out who my guests are for the rest of the run.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.